for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the morning.
Those of you who have never met Brother Harris before until last night, it's a privilege to have him here over the past years. Brother Harris is a prophet and an apostle of the Lord, in my opinion. That's my opinion. And he may not agree with that, but we appreciate the word of the Lord and that flows through him and the ministry that flows through him, and also Brother Tommy as they minister the prophetic word of the Lord. And Brother Jack, come and the Lord bless us.
Praise the Lord. Thanks the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Oh, my. He's having a great time around here this morning, aren't we? Yeah, he's acting like Pentecostal folks. I like Pentecostal folks. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's spirit-filled Pentecostal. Hallelujah. I came up through the old school and I learned a lot. If I could remember all I've learned, I'd have a lot of knowledge. Know a lot, but I forget a lot of it and learn a lot more. Praise the Lord. I tell you, that Glenn on the rapture, boy, that's one hard thing to take away from. I mean, that you can't hardly. That's a hard one to get away from. Those that have been, really indoctrinated with that doctrine. I came up through the old school that, well, I thought that the rapture was going to take place any minute or for years. I thought that, and then I. I became a Bible scholar, and I began to read the Bible, and the Bible didn't quite do it like that. We believe so many things that somebody had convictions, and those old-time preachers, man, they could preach it convincingly. And once you get kind of indoctrinated, it was hard. But it was difficult, and I came up with the well-known biggest Pentecostal organization, spirit-filled organization in the world. They like to boast that, you know, and that's all right. They are the biggest, and I came up under their doctrine, and I believed, you know. But when the Lord gave me by revelation, some of the things that I tell you, I got direct as Paul got. Now, and when I came into sonship as direct as Paul did, I never heard anybody mention sonship. Nobody taught me anything except just old line doctrine. And God began to move on me and began to speak with me and began to show me these things. And I just began to try to share them. And believe me, this was 30 years ago, and it wasn't easy, especially when the people that I knew was all versed in just old line doctrine, thought they got everything when they got the Holy Ghost, and all they're doing is waiting to die and go to heaven. Well, it was very difficult. As a matter of fact, I had to make some heart-rending decisions along the way. I often say that I've never been kicked out of anything, but I'm a come-out of the come-outers. Hallelujah. And I'm not too entrenched to come out again if people that I'm fellowshipping doesn't adhere to if they don't let this be supreme authority, I can't stay. I have to follow on to know the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was difficult for me the first time to tell the people that there might not be a rapture. I believe that's the way I put it. And then I got a little bolder and stated definitely that there wouldn't be a rapture per se, as we had thought it and knew it. And there are a lot of things wrong with that theory. And then I often said, well, you know, people would get mad at you. They'll still get mad at you. And I was, well, I'm waiting for a translation. Of course, translation and rapture, except for the theory that goes with each one, they'd be almost interchangeable words. But I said, well, if I'm wrong, I'll tell you what, I believe we're going to be translated. You believe we're going to be raptured. If we're wrong, you can tell me all the way up. But I was wrong. But I stand in full assurance that we're waiting for the whole world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, that's what the book says, and indeed we are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May all, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then had the streams overwhelmed us, and the waters had gone over us, and the proud waters had passed over our souls. But thanks be to God, he didn't give us a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us, let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, cast them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Be wise, you kings, and fear the Lord, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the heathen rage. Let him imagine all the vain things he will. But there is one thing sure. He already has set his king in his holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. And the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, God knoweth them that are his. Oh, praise the Lord. These things thrill me. Praise the Lord. All right, if you will open your Scofield to Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. I agree with everything Jan said about that. the notes and that, the footnotes and all of that, it's in that Bible. But I tried to get me a Bible without any reference, anything in it, just the Bible. So I don't want to be influenced by it. I'm not bound to those references. This was somebody's idea of what was a reference. I do my own. Amen. I like to go from scratch. I don't like the tap tin, watch the biscuit shoot out. Oh, Lord. I'll do my own referring to by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And I know what the book says. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. I may not know all that it means, but I know all that it says. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. It means what it says, but sometimes our interpretation is not as good as it could be. Let's see here. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. And we'll start here with, let's go to chapter 4 here. I'll skip chapter 3. I was going to read here a couple of verses, but I'll go directly to chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 9. Now that he ascended, that is, Jesus ascended, and I told you last night that he ascended back up on high after the resurrection. But when he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And wouldn't have time to give all of this, but he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, here it is, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And from that place on, we will be no more tossed to and fro and worried by every wind of doctrine, he goes ahead to say. But primarily, this would be the scripture that I want to refer to here. Notice in verse 11, he gave some apostles. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, along about verse 26, won't turn over there, but he said he gave to the church. He set them in the church. He set some in the church, apostles, prophets, and the pastors, and so on. I'm establishing the fact that he gave them to the church, and that he placed this ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints might work the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then we come to the 13th verse, and we have a time word. Till, we would say until, and that's a time word. So he gave these until something happens. Now, what is that was going to happen? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That would bring us to the translation of the blessed sons of God. Yes. Hallelujah. You will readily admit that we have not come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Anybody here perfect? Hallelujah. If so, pray for me. Hallelujah. And yet we must be perfect. We are not perfect, but God is working on us. And I am confident that he who hath begun a good work in us is able to perform it until the day of the Lord. But he will only do that as we yield to his leadership. Now, I'm preaching on, till we come to a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you imagine the glory of this company that is going to come to the fullness of Christ? In Revelation chapter 14, we won't turn over there either, but there's 144,000 that has come to the fullness. They have come to this place. But that is a first fruit. That is my expectation, is they have walked into life, that 144,000 is, and the Bible says, and this is a first fruit. Now, where there is a first fruit, the first fruit is a bona fide guarantee that there is a harvest out there. If there was no harvest, there would be no first fruit. The harvest has produced a first fruit. And in time given, the main body of this harvest will be just like the first fruit. But the first fruit, there has to be 144,000 that will walk into life to start the ball rolling, so to speak. I tell you, the moment they do that, things are going to begin to transpire very rapidly. And if we don't know what's going on, we're going to kind of get lost in the shuffle. We'll be just disturbed and confused unless we know that this is the translation. This is what God has been trying to bring us to. That brings me to the question of my text. Have you passed under the rod yet? Now, this ministry that I have mentioned is the rod of the Lord. What did he say he gave it to them for? For the perfecting. For the perfecting of the saints. In the scriptures, the rod does many things. It is a limb, a branch cut from a tree to begin with. And it is for instructing. It is for guidance. It is for protection and correction. It does many things. And until we have come under the rod of God, there is something lacking. We can never be perfected. Now, did you know that the church world today will not accept these five ministries? You know the church accepts the pastor and the evangelist, and maybe the teacher, but they will not accept the apostle and prophet. And the church is built, the truth is that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And they will not accept the very foundational ministries that could bring the church into the fullness that God wants to bring it to. And I declare unto you that they can never be perfected until they come under the rod of the apostle prophet ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and not all. Most denominations won't do it because it would upset their system. And men that are vying for prestige and position would not allow it at all. Hallelujah. Amen. We belong to a fellowship that is a fellowship that the Lord has put together. We don't have, I belong to a fellowship, and I say I belong to a fellowship, I'm with a fellowship, just a group of preachers and saints that the Lord brought together. Come out of the latter rain movement and just kept moving into God as the latter rain fell away. Except there come a falling away. That man of perdition can't be revealed. But there has come a falling away. Start looking at all. Oh, where does God begin his judgment at? In the house of the Lord. Start looking at your religious order and see how many has fallen away. And it is not so much that one great guy has fallen. Who is he? And what difference could that make? But his influence. Yeah, yeah. And he turns people against God that never will again come back to God. But of course the concept was wrong to start with, but at least they were headed in the right direction. I mean, they made themselves accessible. Maybe an apostle will come along, or a prophet, and maybe they too will be brought under the rod of God. Oh, I know. If you see, when you mention rod, some people only think of the sternness. But I tell you, that's only one aspect of this rod, of this ministry. My, we do many things other than just, we don't. Well, the fact remains, though, that somebody has to be raised up that can judge in righteous judgment. Did you know that the angels that fell from the first estate is waiting even now, still waiting, under darkness in chains? They're waiting to be judged. And did you know that it pleased God that through man and by man, that man would judge angels? The Bible says they'll judge angels. Now, if we're going to judge angels, what better angels are there to judge than them that's been waiting in jail for all of these years, waiting until God could perfect the company that could judge these angels? We're going to judge them. The sons of God will judge them. But before we do, we'll have to come under the rod of all correction. And you see, I could not judge them, no, not now, because I'm judging too much from the seeing of the eye and from the hearing of the ear and from appearances altogether. But in that day, hallelujah, amen, I will judge with righteous judgment. God is still working on that company that will judge. They've been held without bail ever since the fall, waiting for a company to come. Well, if that doesn't entice you, there's another company waiting in the grandstands called a great cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. Because they had everything together. They got it all together. In their lifetime, that great cloud of witnesses did. I'm in, where am I? In Hebrews chapter 12. I'm in Hebrews chapter 12, and there's that great cloud of witnesses that got everything together. They had faith. They stood for God. They were a light to their generation. But the time element caught them. And they had to go by the way of the grave, but they died in faith, not having received the essence of promise. And they without us cannot be made perfect. And you know what they're doing this morning? They're in the grandstands now, and they're looking down at us and wondering, is this a day? Will they break through the barriers today? Will God call out His number and bring them to perfection, that we too can be perfected? This will cause the first resurrection. Oh, my God. Sometimes I feel like my change is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. No, I really do. Sometimes I actually feel that I'm being changed and coming into that blissful change. Amen. But I cannot, suppose that I'm at the point of that happening. I got to wait until there's 143,999 more. Hallelujah. Somewhere, hallelujah, amen, that can appear before the Lamb with the seal of God in our foreheads. Hallelujah. Amen. And in our right hand. Oh, these are virgins.
Yes.
They have not been defiled by women. Women represent the systems, the religious orders and systems, and they are not defiled by the systems, but they are those, what are they? These are they that followed the Lamb wheresoever He goeth.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God. What a ministry. What a glorious ministry. So we come... as I say, we must come under the rod. Now, let me give you some scriptures here. Why don't I start in Leviticus back over here? In Leviticus 8:27, and I'm going to take you through some scriptures here and press my point. Praise the Lord. And my subject this morning. In chapter 27 of Leviticus, verse 30. Two. All right, now listen to this. He said, and concerning the tithe of the herd, of the flock, he's talking about sheep, ain't he? Even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. When you pass under the rod, you'll be holy unto the Lord. Have we all learned the blessing of tithing? Have we learned that it doesn't rob us, it makes us prosperous? The blessing of tithing and giving to the Lord, already said, and now, and concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. That comes under the rod shall be the tenth, and that's the tithe of the herd. And how many of you know, and you do know indeed, that we are likened unto many things in the Bible, trees, waters, fish, yes, and on the list goes, but we are likened unto a sheep more than we are anything else. So you would agree then that when he talks about the sheep, he's actually talking about us. Now I was raised on a farm ranch type thing there in East Texas, just 2.5 miles from where I live now, was our home place. And I stayed out there until 1974 it was, and they came in there and wanted that ranch for coal, lignite that was under it. And so I had to let the utilities have it, and I moved 2.5 miles up to the little town there. It had been our hometown all the time. And we had corrals out there. And we had a corral that we had. It had a lane down through it, you know, like this. And on each side was pens, compartments. And each one had a gate. As you come down, you run the herd down this lane and open the gate that you want them to go in, and then pull the next gate across the lane to stop them, and it forces them in there. Now, that's what was happening here. Let me give you a graphic picture of this scene. All right, here they bring in the flocks from the field. They bring them to the corrals, start them down the chute, and they're going, and there's a guy sitting there counting them as they come down the chute. And here is a gate here, and the guy that's counting them is back here, and this gate is where they're going to turn the 10th one through. So he counts, the guy counts 9, and then he says 10, and this gate from this compartment flies open and closes off the lane. This gate flies open and turns the 10th one in here. And there's a guy sitting here that counts him with a rod. And so when this Templin comes through this gate, he passes under the rod. And he belongs to the Lord. And he cannot be used for anything else. The other 9 goes, "Oh, tell me, thou whom my soul loveth, where dost thou feed thy flock? And where do you cause them to rest at noon? For why should I be as one that feeds by the flocks of the companions?" But 9. Hallelujah. But I want to know where the Lord's feeding his flock. The tithe. Oh, glory to the Lord. It's a quotation from the Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. "Oh, tell me thou whom my soul loveth." Everybody say it. "Oh, tell me thou whom my soul loveth." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Huh.
Hallelujah. Let's do it again. "Oh, tell me thou whom my soul loveth." Hallelujah. "Where do you feed your flock?" Now, the beauty here is actually it's beyond telling. But some of the beauty is that before this sheep goes through this gate and passes under the rod, he's just a sheep in a flock. He is one of the masses, one of a multitude. But the moment he goes through this door and passes under this rod, he's a very special sheep. Hallelujah. He's very special. He belongs to the Lord. He cannot be used in the secular realm. Oh, he gives himself completely. This is total commitment. He passed under the rod, becomes the Lord's property. What? "Know you not," hallelujah, "that you are bought with price, you are not your own?" Oh, if you passed under the rod, oh, hallelujah, you become the Lord's sheep. And these sheep that went under the rod here, they become the Lord's property, and they'll be used in the, they used them in the cities of refuge to feed the priest and the Levites and those that had no inheritance. Oh my God, that had no inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that crowd's waiting. Them spectators are waiting, see. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, they come in by the generations and died out. No, my people have been religious for many generations. My great-granddaddy was killed in the Civil War, but he was a staunch Christian. His name was Scott Harris. His daddy's name was Alfred. It was Alfred. Alfred died and took a seat with that great crowd of witnesses and waited to see what Scott would do. Scott got entangled in the Civil War and the masses got killed, but he came and took his seat beside Alfred. And then they waited for my Ab Harris, my next granddaddy. He comes and takes his seat beside Scott. Then my dad, 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, took his seat beside Ab. And now they're in the grandstands, and they see me down here this morning. Alfred punches Scott and said, "Ain't that old Jack?" "Yeah, I believe he is." Ask Steve, that's my dad's name. "That Jack?" "Yeah." And they began to be my pep squad in the heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Surely he'll break through the barrier this morning. For we without him can't be made perfect. Hallelujah. If you've been around a long time, as I have, and a lot of us have, I know, if you can get what the old timers coined prayed through, you familiar with that term? I kind of like the term because I know what it means. It means that they just get down and pray till they put everything under and couldn't see nothing but God. Well, if you were today get prayed through, and you used to pray through because that was your big slogan back then, you prayed through, and you felt real good, and you felt the nearness of the Lord. But if you will do it now and compare it with 30 years ago, you will feel that the Lord's a lot closer to you.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Because as the time draws near, the spirits of just men made perfect are hovering closer and closer and closer. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, so that we can be translated right here in the earth.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, so that we can be translated right here in the earth and begin the ministry of cleansing, purifying. Oh, we got a lot of things to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we won't quit until the earth has been eradicated from any evidence that Satan ever lived here. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll remove every trace. And we'll have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord forever. And it's just us in Him and Him in us. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody said, "What will we be doing?" Just whatever we like to do. Hallelujah. Worship in Him. Ah. For the first few thousand years, because time will be no more, we might just pay homage to Him that's King. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, so when you pass under the rod, you become the Lord's property, and He uses you. And if you don't pass under the rod, you have to come under the rod of government, God's governmental order. And under the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, you have to be submissive to these ministries and to all the governmental order. The Bible says of Jesus, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Isn't it amazing that the world today, those that want to be real spiritual, if you just mention the word law, they kind of you kind of get a feedback, and they'll say under their breath, some of them out loud, "We're not under the law." Well, what they mean is we're not under the law that God gave to Moses, the ceremonies of that law, but we are under the law of God and always will be. Oh, but what we've got to do is find the perfect law of liberty. And that's not easy. You see, The charismatics, you know, they preached liberty. We have the liberty. We have the liberty. They took their liberty, newfound liberty, and it's a lot of truth. They had liberty, but they took their liberty and had it to bring them under greater bondage than they was under before they found the liberty, because they offended the old order of Pentecostal people. And if you offend the brethren, you're in trouble. You don't want to be offensive. Paul said, if it offends my brethren to eat meat, I won't eat any as long as the world stands. And he wasn't a vegetarian, because he later said, well, say on that, let me expound it a little bit. If I come into a place and they set meat on the table and I know it was offered to an idol and nobody says anything about it, I'll eat it. But if a weak brother punches me and said, hey, Paul, don't eat that. It's offered to idols. I said, I won't eat any of it. Didn't he say it? He found the perfect law of liberty. You can take your, you can't exploit your liberty. It'll bring you back under bondage. If you have liberty in the Lord, take that liberty. Hallelujah. But don't exploit liberty, your liberty, that will offend your brethren. Amen. Somebody said, well, that sounds hypocritical if Paul eat meat when they're not there and won't eat it when they are there. No, he found the law. Paul said the law is honorable. I admit there's a trouble between me and the law, but the law is honorable, so I have to concede that the trouble is me. I'm the trouble. Yeah, hallelujah. For I find myself not doing what I would do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There was an old Roman custom, went way back into the ancient ages, that if a man committed a horrendous crime of murder, they would sometimes take his victim and strap him to the perpetrator's back and tie his hands in such a way that he couldn't get loose from this dead body, and he would go around, just turn him loose. And anybody that would unloose him from this dead body was under strict orders not to, and would certainly be penalized if it was brought to someone's, to the authorities' attention. And he would go around begging for somebody to release me from this dead body, from this body of death. Because if that body of death clings to him long enough, you know what's going to happen to him, don't you? That body of death is going to contaminate him and cause him to deteriorate. And Paul is alluding to that fact when he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Oh, my inner man has a body strapped to him that death is working in that body, that tabernacle. Hallelujah. And I want to know, oh, I'm a wretched man in this condition. I want to know who will deliver me from this body of death. And then he said, he got it. He said, oh, I thank God that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life. What? The law of the Spirit of life. You mean even the Spirit of life has to have a law to direct it. It has to have a law to set its guidelines. For this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death has to have a law. Sin and death has to have a law to set boundaries for it too. For if it had nothing to set boundaries for it, it could invade the Spirit of life. But there is a law that sets boundaries for the law of sin and death, and it cannot. Its law, its own law, will not let it invade the law of the life of the Spirit. And then there is a law that directs the life of the Spirit that will not let it invade the law of sin and death. Oh, my God, it's deep calls to deep. Yes. Hallelujah. If God is dealing with you deep within, it's a good indication that he's trying to get you to come up to Zion. Yes. Hallelujah. Zion is the highest order of God. He's trying to, you'll have to come through the processes. You'll have to come under the rod. these were the tithe. Let me take us to the book of Malachi here quickly, and I know, oh my, I've got one started here that would take a long, long time to do, I know. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Now he says, all right, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. We see, we said that when these sheep pass under the rod, they become the tithe of the Lord. Now he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. And if I see, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. Now listen to this. You're reading that, open your Bibles there, and read it, and I want to expound this passage, this scripture to you. For you think that it says that if you will bring your tithe into the storehouse, that God's going to open up heaven and rain something out on you called blessing, that you won't be able to contain it. And if you think that's what it says, you're right. That is indeed what it says. But it says something else also. And let me read it to you now and show you what else it says. Hallelujah. It says, when you try the Lord, prove Him. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. I'm going to open you. The windows, we are the light of the world. The window is put for a light. We are the windows. Through this window, you can see the Lord. He says, I'm going to open you the windows of heaven. We are the windows of heaven. He's going to open us, and I'm going to pour you out.
Yes, hallelujah.
You're not the puller now, you're the pulley. Amen. Now, I'm going to pour you out, and I'm going to make you a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Hallelujah.
Have you passed under the rod yet? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preaching is not just what I do, it's what I am. It's not just what I am, it's what I do. And I can't tell where the do stops and the am starts. Hallelujah. And when I was set in the ministry years ago, 40 years ago, and I came before the presbyter, there was an old apostle there, prophet, and he prophesied over me, and he said, yea, you will go up and down the land for years to come. You will go abroad and throughout all the nations of the earth. And this I say to you, my son, wherever you go, you will quote the scriptures by the chapters, and the bonds will be broken, and you will find favor with the people, and you will be a blessing wherever you have gone. That's why that I rarely stand up without at least quoting a chapter or two of the scriptures. He told me to quote it by the chapter. I began to try to come under the rod. And he said, as you quote the word of life, it'll break the yoke and destroy the fetters. And I tell you a truth, it will. It has never failed. Hallelujah. It has never failed. I give you this example, and there are men here, not in this tabernacle this morning, that could confirm it, but there were some that you know that was with me. We went over, we were overseas, and we was going to have a convention, and there was 13, well, there was 13 languages there. I don't know how many nations was represented by ministry. And we had, when you came in, it was a big convention center, and when you came in, they ask you what language you speak. You tell them, they give you a radio with earphones. And whoever's preaching, he's preaching in his native language, but you are hearing him from a table down here, interpreters. and you're hearing him in your language. You can imagine how difficult it would be to preach unless you've got a 1-2-3 thing. Hallelujah. And I can't do a 1-2-3 because I'll wind up doing 3-2-1. Yeah, you know, hallelujah. Amen. And so they was kind of hostile toward us Americans anyhow, but we put our best preacher up. And he just, and I never had seen him do it before, but he just flunked out. I mean, what else could you say? He had to give it up. And so the next day, we put up another one we thought was, you know, probably the next best. And that one flunked out. And they was just, and the third time we put up our third best one. And that one flunked out. And they was just about to laugh us out of the country. And so they said, I think they said, what have we got to lose? Let's put Brother Jack over there. And I was nervous. You know, I don't let people intimidate me. You see, they're just people. I'm probably intimidating them. Yeah. So, but I get up there and through this interpreter, and then I started preaching somewhere along this line. I preached on the rod of God. And I hadn't been preaching about 1 minute till I felt the unction come. Hallelujah. And the unction grabbed a hold of my interpreter, and in 3 minutes we had a standing ovation. And we broke the bondage, came into favor with all of that ministry, and from there on for the next few days we preached whoever we wanted to. The yoke had been broken. The fetter was gone, and it seemed again I could hear that old man was an old man then saying, son, quote, the word of life, and it'll break the fetters and destroy the yoke. And you will find favor in all nations wherever you go. It's because I passed under the rod. I am subject to all ministry. Hallelujah. And I go to a place, you know, each place has ground rules. I abide by all ground rules. Hallelujah. I may have liberty to go beyond those ground rules when I get away, but while I'm here, I'm under these ground rules. Of course, Glenn's ground rules are mine. Mine are his. We pretty well see alike. I never had a problem, though. I mean, if you require something that I don't normally do, I'll do it. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, I'll do. Wherever you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where you live, I'll live. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, now, instead of you furnishing the tithe, you actually become a tithe. And I'm going to open you up. Well, if you are, what are we? Paul said, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. My course is run. And I'm about ready to be, I'm ready to be offered. Well, what do you offer? A sacrifice. I think that Paul would have said, Timothy, by the time you get this letter, the news will be going out throughout all of Asia and all of the known world that I have been executed by the Roman government. Don't believe a word of it, son. Hallelujah. For the Roman government has not executed me. I have become an offering. The Lord has poured me out. He opened me up, and He has poured me out an offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the first thing that you do when you make an offering out of a sacrifice and offer it to the Lord, the first thing you do is open it up. Hallelujah. So he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open you up. And then I'm going to open you up, windows, to whom people get a glimpse of the heavenlies. I'm going to open you up, and I'm going to pour you out. But he's been pouring me out for all these years. Hallelujah. I've gone up and down the land. I wore out. Goodness, it's a good thing I had this good, strong tent to start with. I'd have wore out two or three ordinary ones. But now, well, I almost wore this one out, too. I went till I leaped myself coming back, and I just almost drove myself in the ground. That the Lord was just pouring me out, pouring me out. Your troubles became my troubles. Your feelings became my feelings. Paul said, who is weak among you and I don't feel that weakness? Who is offended and I don't burn with indignation inside? I feel as you feel. That's relationship. When you passed under the rod, when you passed under the rod, you don't only tithe, but you have become a tithe. Now, in closing, let me offer us one more scripture. I just wouldn't want to close without this one. In Ezekiel chapter 20, in Ezekiel chapter 20, and verse 30, let's see, I'll have to get over here, 30, no, 34, I guess. Yeah. All right. And God says, and I will bring you out. You're with me here? I'm in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 34. And God said through the prophet, I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Now here, so verse 35. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. Well, see, the illustration that I gave you, the example, that's what he did to us. He brought us into a wilderness of the people. Everybody was looking at us with hostility, and finally, they just detested us. And he brought us into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. You ever been? There's a scripture in, I believe it's in the 9th chapter of St. Luke, in verse 18. Jesus is saying here, somebody turn over there quickly, and I'll see if we're at the right location, we'll read it. And it says, and Jesus was alone, verse 18. I'm in the 9th chapter of St. Luke, am I right? Is that what it says? Somebody got it? St. Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 18. Yeah. You're reading it out of another translation. Give me a... See, it's good. All right. Let's read it again, Bill. Come slow. He was alone praying. Well, do you see anything here? I mean... He was alone... Now the question is, was he alone, Brother Bill, or was his disciples with him? But it says that he was alone, but his disciples were with him. Well, that's the way it was. He was alone, but his disciples were with him. He was alone in his commitment. His disciples were present. They were physically present, but they were not. He was alone. He was alone. He was getting no spiritual support from them, physical support maybe, but he was alone. What was he doing? He was praying. He was praying. And he says he was alone, and his disciples were with him. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's the way we find ourselves. We are alone, but we're in a crowd. Yeah. Sometimes I walk down to a mall and the people like working like bees. And I'm just all alone. And people bumping me on both sides. Oh, praise the Lord. Walking under the rod of correction. Under the rod of liberty. Under the rod of blessings. All right, let's read on now in our passage in Ezekiel. I wanted to show you that. He's going, and I plead, all right, now, so verse 36, he said, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. going to bring you right into the bond, the boundaries of the covenant, the blood covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to bond you, weld you, fasten you. I'm going to have you committed to the covenant, to the bond of the covenant. And then when I get you that way, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to purge out from among you the rebels. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to purge out the rebels. I'm going to have a pure company, a pure priesthood. He shall suddenly come to his temple to purify his priesthood. Have you passed under the rod yet? Hallelujah. All right, he's going to purge out the rebels and them that transgress against me. That's what he's going to do. He's going to purge out the rebels. When the 144,000 stands before God, the rebels have been purged out. And there's only 144,000 pure virgins. Them that has not followed the line of least resistance, they have not followed popular opinion, but they have turned away from popular opinion to follow the Lamb, the blessed Lamb, wheresoever he goeth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in this the way that you're going, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be put in prison. You're going to be, he uses the word tortured. You're going to be tortured if you continue to follow me. Hallelujah. It was a time to ponder again the alternatives. They pondered and said, well, Lord, Peter said, if you go to jail, I'm going too. And he said, well, they're going to put me to death. He said, they'll have to do me too. I said, Peter, you would have denied me three times before rooster crows. Next rooster year crow, you'll already have. Peter didn't think he'd do it, did he? And Peter was with him when they came for him that night in the garden. And you know what Peter did? He was going to make his boldness, he was going to back up his boldness. He quickly drew a sword, for the Lord had told him before this, that, hey, is there a sword among us? Well, we've got two. He said, well, that'll be enough. Peter had one of them. And Peter pulled out his sword and swung it at the high priest's bodyguard and cut his ear off. But I want you to know that Peter wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He had something far more gross than that in mind. He intended to get both ears by way of by way of just above the shoulders, so he's going to take the ears off. And that guy just ducked just right, and he shaved his ear off, and the Lord told him to put away the sword now. And Peter would learn what it was to come under the rod of correction, guidance. And he'd learn what it was to after. Now, if leadership has never come under the rod, there's no use in trying to do any guidance, any correction, and all of these things until we get somebody that has come as far as the Lord has allowed them to come, and with all their heart want to be completely, totally committed and submitted to the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, have we come under the rod? And if we have not come under the rod, do we want to come under the rod and be in the Lord's pasture? See where he feeds his flock at noon and where he causes them to rest at the noon hour. Oh, the great things await the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's going to begin, when things begin to happen and develop, it's going to develop very swiftly and very fast. And again, you'll be completely confused. The religious world will be completely confused. But all the sons of God will go up and down the land. All limitations will have been removed. Nothing shall by any means hurt them. Immunity from everything that can be poured out on this world. And ministry My Lord, those that were straddling the fence will see the blessedness and the glory of the sons of God, and they will come to God. Come under the rod. Join this great throng of saints that are worthy to walk in the robes of white. God bless you this morning. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, it is with great confidence that we stand before this congregation this morning. My Lord, and we minister here to this people at Lake Hamilton. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon Glenn, Irma, and all the staff here, Lord. And we pray your continued blessing over this entire weekend, Lord, that it'll be one blessing after another. And the Word of God will flow. Instruction will come forth. And this people will be brought up a little higher and a little nearer to Thee, O Lord. Great God, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people this morning. My Lord, may the blessings of the Almighty be ours. And may the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts. And may love flow out from us one to another until all that beholds will know that we have been in the presence of the Almighty, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of our blessed Savior. Now, Lord, Thou who hast created all of us, You have preserved and kept us alike, O God. I pray that You will continue to preserve us and know that we that love Thee most of all and each other in Thee will never meet for the last time. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.